Thank you, Dan. Thanks for reading the scripture. Reminds me of what it says in 1 Timothy 4:13, devote yourself to the public reading of scripture, to preaching and to teaching. How important that is. How important it is to respect the authority of the Word of God. Great to be with you folks this morning. Congratulations on calling a new pastor. Pastor Zach Slater, right? Do I have his name correct? Wife and four kids. Boy, I'd be praying to be able to handle the nice mild winters up here after being in Arizona. Well, we rejoice in that. My wife Kathy is back in Reber because she's the main piano player for our Christian Missionary Alliance Church there in the little town of Reber, 35 miles southwest of Grand Rapids. And, you know, Kathy and I, we're rejoicing because a few days ago, our 19th grandchild was born, Elsie Joy. She's cuter than a bug's ear. And so we're rejoicing because of that. And so, yeah, we've got 19 grandkids now and four great-grandsons. But, you know, as we hurtle towards geriatrics, there are some perks like that. Yeah. But at the same time, we are concerned about our kids, our grandkids, all the wrong influences these days, all the different ways their minds can be corrupted, their innocence can be destroyed. I hope you'd be praying along with me for those precious kids that'll be at Vacation Bible School here in August, that they would be instructed in the Lord Jesus Christ in a way that they will understand, that they will accept him, will know him, be able at an early age to walk with him. Why don't we pray right now? Heavenly Father, thank you for this time together in worship, in prayer, in your precious word. And we do pray for, specifically for Vacation Bible School coming up August the 5th, 6th, and 7th. That you'd bring the little kids that could benefit from this, Lord, that you'd provide the volunteers and the help, and Lord, that you would do some fabulous things during that time, that kids would come to know Jesus and learn how to walk in him. Thank you, Jesus, that by your grace you have saved us through faith in the Lord Jesus Christ. We know it's not anything that we could do, Lord. We cannot fulfill the law perfectly. We are sinners, and yet, Jesus, you went to the cross, and you died there, and you didn't die for your own sins. You didn't have any. You died for our sins in our place. We thank you for doing that for us, Jesus, and now we worship you as our risen Lord. Please instruct us in your precious word this morning here from John chapter 21. In Jesus' name, amen. Well, yes, I invite you, if you haven't already, to turn to that passage in John chapter 21. You know, the Bible is full of people who fail. God wrote this book. If we had written this book, we would have covered up all the failures. But no, God tells us the truth. And he tells us why we need a Savior. And of course, Peter, if you recall in the Gospels, Peter had messed up big time. He had denied that he even knew Jesus three times. And yet there's that promise in Scripture, isn't there? 1 John chapter 1, verse 9, that if we confess our sins, he is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. Here in this passage in John chapter 21, verses 15 to 22, there are several contrasts in the challenge of Peter's love by the Lord. Number one, Peter disowned, denied the Lord in the city. And Jesus takes him away from the city with its rush and roar and all its seduction to the sea. Second contrast is that Peter had denied Jesus just past midnight. And here Jesus meets Peter by the sea in the early morning. And thirdly, Peter denied Jesus by a fire which Jesus' enemies had built there in the courtyard of the high priest. And Jesus builds a fire now for Peter and calls him to confess over that fire. Peter had denied him three times, and three times now our Lord calls him to confess. Is there any picture in all the Bible more full of beauty? And I say to you in God's name, get away from the fires Christ's enemies are building for warmth. Jesus knows how to build fires. Jesus is saying to us, if the morning is chill and you want warmth, I can build your fire. And we will see how Jesus does that for Peter and how he can do it for you and me. The basic qualification for Christian service is humble love for Jesus, where he is our first love. Here in this passage, there is a threefold question, and then a threefold response, and also a threefold command. The threefold question, do you love me? And the third time that Jesus asked this same question, Peter is hurt. He is grieved there in verse 17. How does it read there in verse 17? The third time he said to him, Simon, son of John, do you love me? Peter was hurt because Jesus asked him the third time, do you love me? And he said, Lord, you know all things. You know that I love you. And sometimes to help us, the Lord must hurt us before he can help us. Let me try to illustrate that. Years ago, there was a Norfolk Southern freight train rolling down the rails of the state of Indiana at 24 miles per hour. Suddenly, the conductor, Robert Moore, spotted an object on the railroad tracks, roughly a city block ahead. Initially, the engineer, Rod Lindley, thought it was a dog on the tracks, and then Moore screamed, "That's a baby!" The baby was 19-month-old Emily Marshall, who had wandered away from home while her mother planted flowers in the yard. And so Lindsay, the engineer, hit the brakes, and Moore, the conductor, bolted out the door and raced along a ledge in the front of the train engine. And he realized there was no time to jump ahead of the train and grab the baby. And so he ran down a set of steps on the edge of the engine and squatted at the bottom of the grill and hung on. And as the train drew close to Emily, she rolled off the rail onto the roadbed, but she was still in danger of being hit by the train. And so Moore stretched out his leg and pushed her out of harm's way. And Moore then jumped off the train and picked up the little girl and cradled her in his arms. Little Emily ended up with just a cut on her head and a swollen lip. Sometimes, like this train conductor, God must hurt us in order to save us. What did the Lord say there in Hebrews chapter 12, verse 6? The Lord disciplines the one he loves. And as Jesus asked Peter this question three times, do you love me? And hurt him the third time. So the Lord is asking you and me this morning the same question. It may hurt, but remember, the Lord loves you and I love you. And if I could, I would cradle you in all my arms and in my arms all at the same time. And God doesn't want you to be involved in a train wreck, nor make a shipwreck of your faith. The first question, the first time, do you love me? That first question has to do with the extent of our love. Do you truly love me more than these, Jesus says. More than the other disciples love me? Peter had claimed more love for Jesus than the other disciples. In Matthew 26:33, Peter answered and said to him, "Even though all may fall away because of you, I will never fall away." And then in Matthew 26:35, Peter said to Jesus, "Even if I must die with you, I will not deny you." And then in Luke 22:33, Peter insisted that he was ready to go with the Lord to prison and to death. Another possible meaning of "do you love me more than these" is, "Peter, do you love me more than this lovely, huge catch of fish? Do you love me more than this way of life as a fisherman?" There's a third possible meaning. "Do you love me more than these" means, did he love Jesus more than he loved his fellow companions, his close friends, his peers? The first question also has to do with the importance of our love, as well as it expands into the similar second and third question. And the essential same question is asked three times because our love, dear people, for Christ is of first, second, and third importance. Because service without love is useless. It's worthless. We can do good things for the wrong reasons. We can do good things to salve our conscience, to cause others to like us, because we simply enjoy it, or do it good things to influence others and gain power and influence. But we're reminded of 1 Corinthians 13, aren't we? That even if you give your body to be burned, there is no life where there is no love. 1 Corinthians 13, verse 1, "If I speak in the tongues of men or of angels, but do not have love, I am only a resounding gong or a clanging cymbal." The basic quality for service is humble love for Jesus. This threefold question also has to do with the quality of our love. Not only the extent, but the quality of our love. You remember there in the book of Revelation, the letters to the churches. The letter to Ephesus, "You have lost your first love." We remember the church that was given the letter there at Laodicea. Their love was neither cold nor hot, not at all useful to the Lord. And so, dear people, we want this morning, here at this moment, to acknowledge Christ's presence here with us. And imagine Jesus walking up and down the aisles here, between the pews. Try to imagine that. And him asking you, do you love me more than these? What is the proof of your devotion to Jesus? And I've asked you these questions because I've been asking them of myself. In Matthew chapter 10, verse 37, we read the words of Jesus, "He who loves father or mother more than me is not worthy of me. And he who loves son or daughter more than me is not worthy of me." So if you and I love Jesus with the appropriate love, we simply cannot, for example, be casual discussers of the various good points of different world religions. We simply cannot put Christ's name by the side of that of Buddha or Confucius or Mohammed or any other. I cannot feed his lambs and shepherd his sheep until I see that he alone is my Savior. He is infinitely above Mohammed and Confucius and Buddha, that every gleam of light in their teachings, every touch of truth and the things they said were derived ultimately from him, from Christ, that all the treasures of wisdom and knowledge are hid in him, that he is supreme, absolute, final Lord. Until then, I cannot really serve him do his work, and neither can the Christian church. I remember the article by Tom White years ago in the Voice of the Martyrs publication. Probably some of you have heard of that. Raise your hand if you've heard of Voice of the Martyrs. Yes, well, years ago there was an article about what happened during the Cold War, that period from about 1947 to 1991 in the Eastern European country of Romania. It was called the Congress of the Cults. Over 4,000 priests, pastors, and ministers from all denominations were assembled. They had elected Joseph Stalin as their honorary president. One after another went to the podium proclaiming that Christianity and communism were fundamentally the same, that they could coexist, they could all get along. A young Christian woman could bear it no longer. She looked at her husband, a Lutheran pastor, and said, "They are spitting on the face of Jesus. Go wash the shame off his face." And her husband warned her, "If I speak against the communists, you will no longer have a husband." The pastor's wife, Sabrina Wormbrand, simply replied, "I do not wish to have a coward for a husband." And so Pastor Richard Wormbrand, a lone voice among the 4,000, went to the microphone. He was well known in Romania, and everyone believed he would go along with the assembly for the sake of peace. He did not. He only spoke of loyalty to Jesus Christ. He could not coexist with any entity that opposed the Great Commission of make disciples of all nations. And for this simple protest, this Lutheran pastor, Richard Wormbrand, paid dearly. He ended up in prison, as did countless Christians who refused to bow down to the ways of communism. But you know, dear people, today we face a similar scenario. Jesus is being spit upon in American churches. Christians are selling their soul for a peaceful coexistence found in deceit. But who will come forward and wipe away the shame? For the sake of unity and peace, several major Protestant denominations have decided to accept the legitimacy of same-sex marriage and transgenderism. Now, let me clarify here at the outset. Jesus cares about all people, no matter what kind of lifestyle they are living. Jesus died for sinners like you and me, for those who need a physician like you and me. But how we handle this issue of same-sex marriage and transgenderism comes down to the same question, get this, the same question that Jesus here repeatedly asks of Peter. Do you love me? Do you love me more than these? In other words, is your loyalty to me? And let me show you why. I hope you're carefully listening. Jesus said in John chapter 14, verse 23, "Anyone who loves me will obey my teaching." And so the next obvious question is, what did Jesus' teaching include? Well, for example, it included John chapter 10, verse 35, where he says, "Scripture cannot be broken." It includes Matthew 5:18, where Jesus says, "For truly I tell you, until heaven and earth disappear, not the smallest letter, not the least stroke of a pen, will by any means disappear from the law until everything is accomplished." Jesus, in his teaching, made 35 direct references and quotations from the Old Testament scriptures. Jesus frequently quoted from and alluded to Old Testament books, including to affirm true marriage from the book of Genesis, when he said in Matthew chapter 19, verses 4 through 6, "At the beginning, the Creator made them male and female, and said, for this reason, a man will leave his father and mother and be united to his wife, and the two will become one flesh. So they're no longer two, but one flesh. Therefore, Jesus says, what God has joined together, let no one separate. Jesus frequently alluded and referred to the Old Testament law and treated it as authoritative. The Old Testament law includes the account of the creation of Adam and Eve and the fall into sin, Sodom and Gomorrah, and the passages in Leviticus that speak of homosexual behavior. Listen, if our loyalty is to Jesus, it means we must allow him, not current trends in culture, to set the absolute standard for what is right and what is wrong. He is the one who establishes the absolute standard by which he handles Old Testament scripture. And so, again, the basic qualification for Christian service is humble love for Jesus. And Jesus said in John 14, 23, anyone who loves me will obey my teaching. Gullible people have accepted Satan's lie that those involved in lesbian and homosexual activity cannot change. As Christians, we need to show compassion for these people who are trapped in the bondage of this lifestyle and show them the truth, the good news. Part of that good news is in 1 Corinthians chapter 6, verses 9 through 11, where the Apostle Paul is writing to the believers in Christ in the city of Corinth. And what does he say? What does Paul say there in 1 Corinthians 6, verses 9 through 11? Listen carefully. Paul writes, or do you not know that wrongdoers will not inherit the kingdom of God? Be not deceived. Neither the sexually immoral, nor idolaters, nor adulterers, nor men who have sex with men, nor thieves, nor the greedy, nor drunkards, nor slanderers, nor swindlers will inherit the kingdom of God. And that is what some of you were, Paul writes, what you were, past tense. But he goes on to say, you were washed, you were sanctified, you were justified in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ and by the Spirit of God. And you can often see this literally carried out on YouTube. Beckett Cook has frequently a YouTube video, and he not only as a homosexual in the Los Angeles area came to know Jesus and was relieved from that lifestyle, redeemed from it, but he interviews other people who have been redeemed and saved from this bondage of this lifestyle. For example, last week he interviewed Josh Loper and also a man by the name of Lewis Miller, who both were practicing homosexual men, but they came to know Jesus and they were released from this bondage and this slavery, this dead-end lifestyle. And yes, you and I, we, different times, we have failed our Lord. But, and I know I have, but he's willing to forgive and reinstate us to service. And his qualification for service is simply yet profoundly our genuine, humble love for and loyalty to him. And that includes keeping his word. Listen, our work and our labor and sacrifice becomes so much easier when it is for love. Way back in Genesis chapter 29, verses 18 to 20, it reads, now Jacob loved Rachel. And so he said, he said to his uncle Laban, I will serve you 7 years for your younger daughter, Rachel. So Jacob served 7 years for Rachel, and they seemed to him but a few days because of his love for her. You see what I'm saying about love? Love makes all the difference. Present day persecution of Christians whose loyalty is to Jesus and who stand up for what is right can take a number of different forms. For example, back on July the 22nd, 2023, police arrested and detained a number of young people from Mercy Seat Christian Church in Brookfield, Wisconsin. That's in between Milwaukee and Madison, Wisconsin. In Brookfield, Wisconsin, these young people were among more than 200 individuals who had gathered to protest a drag queen event held in the town of Watertown, Wisconsin. And during that drag queen event, specifically directed towards innocent little children, the performers in lingerie danced and gyrated in front of small children who were invited by them to give $1 bills. And of course, Wisconsin law, it's on the legal books. Wisconsin law prohibits anyone from forcing a minor to view or hear sexually explicit behavior. Outside that drag queen event, while on public property, these Christian young people, when they started reading and quoting the Bible, the police, over two dozen of them, acted quickly, arresting and handcuffing these young people. A young man named Marcus Schroeder, while he was reading from the Bible, was caught on video as a police officer aggressively removed the microphone from his hands and then walked him out in handcuffs. I don't know all the particulars of this event, but it looks like a pretty clear case of Christians' First Amendment free speech rights being violated. And you remember that in the New Testament, in the book of Acts, Peter and the other apostles replied to the Sanhedrin, the ruling body of the Jews. They replied, "We must obey God rather than men." And you see, it comes to that more and more as our society goes downhill. And because of our loyalty and love for Jesus, are we prepared to stand up for what is right and be arrested if need be? Will we publicly and courageously object if Jesus' face has been spit upon? A while ago, a group of pastors, one of them whom I know personally, Eric Anderson from Life Spring Church down in Crosby, a group of these pastors wrote a letter to our governor, Tim Walz, and then met with him. And one of the reasons they met with him is because prior to that, a while ago, there had been a drag queen show, including for kids, in Ely, Minnesota. And Christians there gathered to protest. Because you see, when Jesus' face is spit upon, the quality of our love and loyalty to him will be shown for what it is by whether we speak out against it, whether we act. And we need to pray for our governor that the Lord in his kindness would lead him to repentance, just as we have all needed and still need to repent. Isn't it wonderful how gracious the Lord was here with Peter? After Peter actually denied him three times that he never even knew this man, this Jesus. And yet, Jesus there by the Sea of Galilee prepares the fire and then says, "Come and have breakfast." He fed Peter first before he asked him that question three times, "Do you love me?" And I hope you know that the reason I'm asking you that question, "Do you love him more than these?" is because I care about you. I look forward to the Lord doing great things here at Sand Lake Chapel, in and through you folks, as the Lord soon brings your new pastor, your new shepherd. And I hope you'll go forward standing for Jesus above all, because he's worth it, isn't it? Isn't he worthy of our highest devotion? Heavenly Father, Thank you for this time with these people. Help us, Lord, to obey your word. Help us never to have the audacity to think we can decide what parts of Scripture to believe and what parts not to believe, to set ourselves up as the authority instead of you. Lord Jesus, help us to be humble before you, because your word says, God resists the proud, but he gives grace to the humble. Lord, I don't want your opposition. I want your grace. So thank you, Lord, for helping me this morning to share. May your word, your eternal word, have power. In Jesus' name, amen.
Thank you, Dave, for that message. It was a good message. It's ironic, or coincidental, I should say, that you brought this message, because this morning I happened to see a news article where Tim Walz, our governor, is going to be the grand marshal for the Pride Parade here this summer. And they showed some pretty lewd images, and it was quite disgusting. But, you know, it's just something that you said, we should always remember to pray for these people. It's not, you know, a lot of them are sick. And in God's eyes, a sin is a sin. I don't view myself any better than somebody who is homosexual. You love the sinner, but hate the sin, right? So just something we should all remember, because the Christian community does get a bad rap for being homophobic or whatever. And we're not, we're just, you know, we're on the same boat. We all sin, whether it's a potty mouth or being homosexual, you know, so we all got to pray for each other. And that's why we accept Jesus, to forgive us for those sins. All right, now communion. Let's get that ready. All right, if you all want to come up and